Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 13. Very, very, very interesting thing I was thinking of the other day, and I'm going, that's pretty cool. You'll see what I mean here in a little bit. In Revelation 13, let's start at verse 1 and go through. I stood upon the sand of the sea. Let me just throw this in here, something I just picked up the other day. All these electronic chips and devices and gizmos and phones and computers, the connections that bind them together is called silicon. You've heard of Silicon Valley in California. Silicon Valley refers to this area of California where all this innovative technology is coming from. It's because it's called silicon because of all these chips. That's what they're made out of. That conducts the electricity and the circuits and everything like that. Silicon is made out of sand, silica. Just something to throw in here, something I'm researching concerning the singularity and how technology is going to be fused with humanology, if that's a word. But anyway, I stood upon the sand of the sea, something to think about, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. We just talked about that. And then notice this. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, great authority. Three things here. And always we follow the trail of that number three. What does it mean? There's always a rhythm in the Bible, and you study the rhythms of the Bible, the cadences. When I was in marching band, we marched to a cadence, the drummers. Okay? It's a sort of a beat. It's a rhythm. Everything in the world has a rhythm to it, has a cycle, has a cadence that it follows. And that's what you see in the Bible, and you learn these numbers, and you kind of get some understanding. His power, his seat, his great authority. Think of Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Here, and then the Bible talks about the Godhead three times, the King James Bible, and refers to the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And then it says that Christ, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So take that and think about this. The dragon gave him his power. There's something so cool about this. His power, his seat, and great authority. Does the dragon have power and a seat and great authority? Let's look. I don't even know if I have this in my notes. No, I don't. Let's go to Isaiah 14. We're going to go off the notes for a little bit. Does the dragon have a seat? Isaiah 14, you're probably familiar with this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne, that's his seat, above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's his seat. He wants to sit where God is sitting, on the throne, on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. That's what you see when you study Dagon. They took the Ark of the Covenant and gave it to, here go Dagon, here's your seat, here's your throne that you wanted. And of course Dagon falls twice. I'll be talking about that in our homecoming. And then Ezekiel chapter 28, you're going to see the prince of Tyrus, who I think is Lucifer. Ezekiel 28, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and because thou hast said, I am a capital G God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. So anyway, I think his seat refers to what his position, what his throne is. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, he said. And he's giving that to the beast, the Antichrist. Why? It's what we're going to look for, all right? What is the power that the dragon has? What power is it that he is giving to the beast? Deuteronomy 32:33. Their wine is the poison of dragons, the cruel venom of asps. So his power, one of his powers, is his ability to make people drunk and poison them. This is, it's like the drunken spirit you see in some of these churches. They're falling all over the floor. They're falling down backwards. They're murdered in their spirit. And they are exhibiting animal-like tendencies, barking, howling, uncontrollable laughter, and so on. This is not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is sober, makes you think right. The drunken spirit is the spirit of a dragon. Their wine is the poison of dragons, cruel venom of asps, which are snakes. And so all of these people who are falling, literally, for this spirit and being drunk in the spirit, they're being poisoned by the wine of the dragon. And the dragon gives the beast that power. So now the beast can make all of humanity drunk in the same way. Think about all these mystics and all these people going after ecstasy and experiences in the church. It's all just a power package of emotions that people go to, and it's like heroin or methamphetamine. An old friend from high school, he got hooked on meth, started selling it, and he said, "Mike, you take it one time. And he said, "You'll do anything to get the second dose after one time." And what happens is that people go to these churches, or they go to these religious conclaves or these festivals or whatever it is. They go to these conventions and they get this power pack of an emotional charge. And it feels so good to them that they'll want more and they want more and they want more. And they're always seeking after that next fix. They're always hooked on the fix. It's the wine of dragons is what it is. It's that spirit. And the funny thing is, these people learn quickly that they have to perform in order to get that spirit. And think what Paul said in Galatians. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" There it is. "Who hath bewitched you? Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" You want to get a good dose of the real Holy Ghost? You just read this Bible. And you'll get this. You'll get as much spirit as you can handle. The opposite of that is a performance of works or a performance of a ritual or a praise and worship service where you have to do and do and do and perform. And then you get this emotional release, just like, you know, that's what they're experiencing. And they get hooked on it and they want more. And it's poisoning them. It's killing them. They don't know it. You pray for people that are in that kind of nonsense, all right? But that's the power that he gives. The dragon has this power. He's going to give it to the beast. There's a reason why. Psalm 44:19. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. Think of the covering that you and I have on us. We have on us the covering of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's what, when God sees us at judgment, he doesn't see the sinful us that we are. He sees the righteousness of Christ on us because we are covered with that and we live forever. This is the opposite. The place of dragons is the shadow of death. And he has the ability to cover people in their own self-righteousness or their own unrighteousness. And it brings them death. And he gives the beast the power to cover people with the shadow of death. It's not a garment of light like God puts on. God puts on a garment of light. This is the garment of the shadow, shade, no light, of death. This beast is going to have power. It's not just political power, like Tim LaHaye in the Left Behind book. Nikolai Carpathia. What rock did he get that from? It's not biblical. It's not even feasible. There are political people who have political power all the time. They can't make the world worship them. This beast has a power over people because God lets him have the power, and the dragon gives him that power to cover people over in darkness and bring them death. He has that power. Ask yourself the question, does the devil have power over death? I have that in my notes here. Does he? Psalm 91:5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. I love Psalm 91. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Terror at night and arrows. Think of the fiery darts of the dragon, the devil. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth in noonday. At noonday. And you go down to verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. And so the power that the dragon has, he has the power to bring terror by night. Think of the setting of 99.9% of horror movies, scary movies. It's at night. Terror by night, the arrow that flieth by day, the fiery darts, I think, that Paul talked about in Ephesians 6. He has that fiery darts, I think, are, think of things that sting or that pierce or that prick inside of you. That's what fiery darts are. They sting, and the sting is always the sting of death. And I think those fiery darts are false doctrine, that the only way to protect yourself is the shield of faith. I trust every word in this book, and there is going to be a lie told to the world, and the world's going to say, you know what? Sounds right for me. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And the Bible Christians, as opposed to the other Christians, the Bible Christians are going to go, that's not here. That's not here. In fact, it says right here that that's a lie. That's the shield of faith against the fiery darts. So the beast is going to have that power. He is the arrow that flies by day. He has the power of the pestilence that walketh in darkness. The word pest. Okay. And I know this word very well because I was a little brother to an older sister. I was a pest. Pestilence is diseases, the takeover of like rats and vermin and cockroaches and things like that. Those are pestilences that are brought about by uncleanness. You ever seen that? People who keep clean houses don't have rats and mice and cockroaches and spiders and things living all in their house. People who have lots of uncleanness, dirty stoves, dirty sink, dirty clothes laying everywhere, those are where the pestilences show up. It's just something to throw in here. Clean your couch, clean your house, okay? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's not in the Bible. Go read it. Go read about how a man went from outside the tabernacle to the most holy place. Before he ever went in the sanctuary, there was a bowl of water there. And God said, you clean that nastiness up before you come in my house. Just something to think about. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. The dragon has those powers. He has the power to destroy, to bring in pestilences, locusts, plagues. He has the power to shoot darts at people. He has the power to bring terror at night. When I was in Kenya the first night, that's what I experienced. I experienced such a terror. I've never felt it before. Maybe I have, just didn't recognize it. But I was hearing voices. I'm not crazy. I was hearing in here, get out, leave. You don't belong here. You're in danger. That's what I was hearing. Right before I went to the slums and preached the gospel and preached about the King James Bible. And the only way that I survived is, oh God, shield me. I prayed, God shield me. God gave me a little bit of rest that night. That beast is going to have that power. And no wonder, no wonder everybody in the world is going to wonder and marvel at this beast and say, who is able to make war with him? He has that kind of power. It's not just a Illuminati figure bringing in the New World Order by political means and gunpoint. It's not that way. Stop thinking that way. This is a spirit who has more power than any preppers or anybody else in the world has the ability to fend him off. If you're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and have a shield of faith, you're preparing for everything else. You don't have faith in this book. You will not survive. In fact, you'll probably go get a mark, your right hand or forehead. Isaiah 13. In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Dragons have the power to go in pleasant palaces and houses where the desolation has taken place. That's what you think about what Jesus said, the abomination that maketh desolate. Once the desolation is there, that's when the dragons come in. And the dragons and the beast with seven heads is going to come in, and he has the power to take over palaces where once human leaders lived. A palace is, from what I understand, is for a king or a prince of some kind. And now the dragon rules from the palaces, and he's going to give that power to the beast. In Isaiah 27:1, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Remember the fiery darts? And the arrow that flieth by day pierces. So he's a piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, what does he look like? And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. You've never seen a snake in a straight line, have you? They're not like centipedes or millipedes or anything else. You never see snakes go in a straight line. They look like lightning, don't they? Okay? I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. So snakes and serpents are crooked. So are you. So is your DNA. It's crooked. It's bent. That's us. Think of the sinfulness of man in our genetic code, and that's the power. That this, remember his power seat and great authority, 3, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. So he's crooked, and he has the power. Anything that he is involved in is crooked. It's not straight anymore. It's in a zigzag. It's in a twist. Think of things that pierce in the Bible. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Piercing. In an attempt to kill or to use fiery darts to sting. It's the sting of death. You stab somebody, they're going to die. Snakes bite and they poison people and they kill them. So the dragon gives the beast this power to pierce people and bring them death. 1 Timothy 6:10, we're warned in the Bible how this works. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The devil loves it when people or countries or churches or ministries love money. They love it when people love money. When ministers or pastors or denominations or ministries, when they start loving money, they get pierced by the devil. And it's false doctrine. You just stop and think about it. Any kind of ministry that is in the like six and or seven figures. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying that at some point, it seems to me that some of these ministers and ministettes decided to keep going after the money. The money, the money, the money. And when they did, that began the roots of their evil empire. And all of a sudden, it just became about the money, the money, the money. And it wasn't about the truth. It wasn't about the scriptures. It wasn't about telling people like it is. It was about the money. And the dragon has the power to pierce. The beast is going to, I think he's going to allure through money and pierce these people through with sorrows. I think that's how it's going to happen. Jeremiah 51:34. Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. Swallowed me up like a dragon. Dragons have the power to swallow up. They have the power to devour things. And what was it? I think in Job, he was talking about Behemoth. Behemoth has the power to open his mouth and swallow up the River Jordan. Just suck it down like Coca-Cola. But the dragon has the power to swallow up. He's got a big mouth. Lions have big mouths. We talked about that last week. And he gives that power to the beast to go and devour and swallow up and take away everything that he wants. Unrestricted. Unrestricted power. Ezekiel 29:1. The 10th year and the 10th month and the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, My river is mine own, I have made it for myself. You could look in here and see the dragon characterized as Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Think of the two types. You have Jerusalem, God's city, you have Egypt. You have Jerusalem, you have Nineveh. You have Jerusalem, you have Babylon. Jerusalem, you have Jericho. You have all these contrasts in the Bible of the city of God with the city of devil. In this case here, it's Egypt. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is a great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers. Think about, this guy came all the way down from Canada, sat in my office and showed me this, and I'm going, that's from the Lord. There are two types of river in the Bible. There is the clear river, pure as crystal, sparkling clean, and it's the river of life. And you can see through it, I love rivers like that, don't you? You can see 20 feet down to the bottom because that river, that water is so pure and so clean, and you just go, man, I want to drink that. That just looks, to us, for some reason, spring water like that looks like life to us. We want to drink it. We want to taste those minerals going into our mouth, and you just think in your mind that just is good for me. We never look at the Mississippi River and go, boy, I want a drink of that. That just looks good. That looks like it brings health to me. We don't do that around here. And there's several other rivers around here that are just as muddy. The Missouri River, in this county, we have Joachim, the Joachim River. It's a small little tributary. It is constantly full of mud. We used to swim in that when I was little. We don't drink it. We don't want to. and we don't say, boy, that's good health now. You swim in that water. It's good for you. We don't do that. His river is a muddy river, but he said, it's mine. I lie in the midst of the rivers. Think of New King James Bible and King James Bible. This is the clear, pure river. Has no defilement in it whatsoever. And we look at it and go, there's health and life in this book. There is. Every time I read this book, that I taste the minerals that are in it. It just tastes like life to me. And when I every time I read this thing, I think, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. They didn't say that right. They didn't get that right. I can taste the mud in it. This is a type of the muddy river. This is the clear river. When you have a clear river, if you have an alligator in there or a crocodile, you can see it. So they don't like to hide in clear rivers. They like to hide in muddy ones. Did you get that? That's what he said. I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers. So this beast is coming in, and he's hiding in the muddy waters. My brother from Canada, thank you for sharing that with me. Revelation 12 now. He has a power in his tail. He gives that to his son. Is the power, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So he has that power he's going to give to the beast to take and cast things down. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for devour her child as soon as it was born. That beast is going to have the power to devour any place where this is. That child is the Word of God. And he will have the power to devour. Think about what power the devil has right now. Think about how children cannot read a Bible in schools now. Why? Because a dragon devoured the Word of God out of our school systems. Can't read it anymore. Devouring the Word of God out of devouring the Word of God out of churches. The dragon succeeded in devouring the Word of God out of churches. And now they don't have it anymore. They have replacements for it, but they don't have the Word of God. And he gives that beast power to devour that. Think of the parable and the seed of the sower, because the Satan, who was characterized as a winged creature, a fowl, came and devoured the word as soon as it fell on the ground. He just came, gobbled it up. So it has no effect. It cannot have root. It cannot bring forth life. That's what power that beast has. Let's see here. Revelation 12:17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And you see that in Revelation 13. We'll get to that sometime. But you keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I've got some things to share with you here, and I think I'm going to hold up on the rest of this, because I want to put some more thought into it, and I probably want to add some more scriptures to this. But you ask yourself the question, here's the dragon, why did he give his power, his seat, his great authority over to the beast? Why did he do that? Think of the fact that he is the opposite of what Christ and his Father is. You think about that, and you just kind of ponder that, all right? And we'll pick up on that next week. It's good to be with you today. God bless you. We appreciate you. We love you. Pray for us. Help us out if you can. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.